fathers, happy Father's Day to you. Come on, give them one more big hand. And I want to tell you, whether you father children or not, there are so many. In fact, I was talking to Robert. I thought maybe this service was going to take a little different turn, as I was going to have four or five fathers speak to us. But Robert was going to be gone. I think there was a fire on the grapevine, so they had to come back. So, Robert, glad you're here today. But Robert told me something I didn't know, that he really didn't have a father inside the home or a father around until he was 10 years old. And the father that he loves so much is a stepdad, but it's the father that he knows and loves, and that's the father he was going to see down south. Isn't that sweet? So he was going to see him. If you talk to others, some had a most awesome, beautiful father. They can't say enough. I had a wonderful father. Oh, I love my daddy. All the kids loved him. And my husband, I loved him. We all loved him. My mother loved him more than she did me. And so, you know, we've all got the dad stories. If you talk to Brother Rick, some of you have heard his testimony. It's very, very sad. He never did have dad around a home, but God provided him. Is he a sheriff? Was he a CHP, Brother Rick? Oh, as in law enforcement. Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. So he was in law enforcement, but he came into Rick's life. And when you talk to Rick, it's my dad. I got to go see my dad. He lives over at over on Henderson. I got to go over and call him my dad. It's always my dad. And so I thank God for the stepdads. Brother Chris never fathered a child, he and Sandra, but they have a wonderful granddaughter now through a beautiful daughter that they adopted when she was 21. We used to tease them about getting the baby bottle and pushing the cart around or the stroller. So God has ways of providing. But I just want to honor all the men. Some of you, I've heard so many people say, he's the only father I've ever known. I didn't know another. And I'm thinking, God, you must have a special reward for those who say, I never knew a father, but he's the only father I've ever known. And then for the fathers, like some of us have wonderful fathers. Such a blessing. It's such a huge responsibility. And it's such a blessing and such an honor to be called not just a father, but dad. Okay, let me give you a little statistic that will not surprise you at all. You know all the statistics we have about not having fathers in the home. And they say you have more juveniles because there's not enough fathers in the home. And prisons are full. And a lot of that's true. But let me just say that. Before I go farther here, to address the women who have raised children, because I did the funeral of a young man who was, he was becoming a professional basketball player. And when I did his mother's funeral, he said to me, and he got up to speak at her service, and he said, my mother, she had six kids in the house, raised out at Pixley, and he said, my mother taught me to be a man without a man in the house. So it can be done, and it has been done. So I honor all of you women that have had to stand in both of those places. And really, you can't take the place of a father in the house, but you feel it. You always feel it, but it's an amazing gift that God brings to help us. So let me say this. An estimated 24.7 million children, say it again, 24.7 million children, that's 33%, live absent of their biological fathers. That's a lot of single women's homes. According to 72% of the U.S. population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America, according to the U.S. Now, everybody on TV, you look at most of the news networks, and they will tell you we've got a big problem in America. We have a, raging crime. We have rising crime. We have financial problems. We have broken borders. We have broken families. I mean, families are just broken. And I hear of something every single week or more where families are broken, and America knows that. They know that we need to get fathers back in the home and get our marriages healed. But we see on the sitcoms in America, these simple little sitcoms that even my grandchildren like to watch. Probably mentioned it to you before, but I would be watching, and I said to Sarah one day, I said, what is her husband? What are they trying to portray him to be? Is he normal? Is he slow? Why did they treat him that way? And why does he act like that? Now, it was a normal American family. But when Dad walked in, if you don't mind me saying it, it was almost like idiocy. Like, why? It's like Pee Wee Herman. What was Pee Wee Herman? I don't know. So you had all these things, the way they're trying to tear down the men's masculinity, calling it toxic, and making fun of a man. You can't be buff anymore. A man can't be strong. If he does, he's all kinds of things, and they bring words to him that are not true. Toxic masculinity. No. Men, this is one thing I love about Landmark. Our men are men, and our women are ladies. And our men are gentlemen, too, I'll tell you that. So I appreciate you men. Happy Father's Day to you. But I want to say this. You know, it's important to us in America. Very important. But it's more important to God than it is to us. I showed Sarah this scripture just last evening. I said, you got to see this. I knew it was there. But I have never brought this on Father's Day. This will be of like my 38th. Father's Day message, along with all the other special messages you do over the years while we were on the road, now pastoring. And I've never doubled up on them. Not one. Not for a special one. Not even Christmas.
So you're healthy?
Yes, I think so. I don't know where that came from. Okay, let's go to Malachi. Turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Maybe that was a prophecy. We'll say, I'm healthy. Amen. I want to show you some very important words. God says manhood, fatherhood, mankind is very important to him. And it's very important to God that we have the order right. The man is the glory of God. And the woman is the glory of the man. And the children are the glory of God. Of that production in the home. Okay? So we honor men here at Landmark. We always will. But we also know the order. Okay? In a home, you'll notice, in a home, if the order ever gets out of whack or out of order, God's order, there'll be something wrong. I've seen homes where the woman is the head of the house. Or you could never, ever, 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 ever be the priest of your home. Never. Because God says there's only one person that's the priest of the home, and that's the man. That's the husband. That's the dad. That's the father. He's the priest of the home. But I've watched women not be the priest of the home. They can't be the priest of home. Never could, because God said it's the man. But I've watched them be in charge of the home, be at the top of the order. I heard one lady one time, she was wanting to go into ministry, but she was married and had children. And there's nothing wrong with that. A woman can minister and have a church and minister, even with a husband and with children, if her husband is still the priest of the home. But she said to me, and I was already on the road ministering, and she says to me, I'm called a minister. I'm called to preach. But she says, my husband and my children are in my way. they're in my way. So I need to go out, but I can't because of them. I said, sweetheart, this is when I used to be bold. I said, you need to sit down. You don't need to go anywhere. If your husband's in your way or your babies are in your way, you know who's going to listen to you? No, no, no. There's a chain of command even in the home, just like there is on your job. Just like there is any business, there's an order set. But it's very, very important to God. And God, I'm going to tell you right now, according to what I'm going to read to you, he does not like what he's seeing in America. He doesn't like it one bit. And I'm telling you, it's very, very serious. We had a few dad jokes. But I'm going to tell you, this is so very serious. Let's look at this. Malachi chapter 4. He starts out talking about the day of the Lord. Now, can I tell you this before we get started? These words that I'm going to give you, they're the very last words in the Old Testament. Look, this is what I have between the Old Testament, my Bible, and the New Testament. Nothing. 400 years of silence. Okay, so I've told you this before. If one of your parents are passing and they call you close to their bedside, honey, come over here. Mama wants to talk to you. Daddy wants to tell you what I've left. Or talk to you about the inheritance. Or just tell you he loves you or whatever. It's got to be very important. And you'll get your ear down there so ever close to hear what Daddy has to say. So God spoke his most important last words when he closed out the Old Testament. It was going to get very silent. So how do you know where it is? It's in Malachi. The very last chapter, the very last verses, right there. So you won't forget that. So he's going to tidy some things up. Now, I know, I need to get right to it, but the whole book of Malachi is just full of nuggets for the end time. But in chapter 3, he even takes time, and he knows it's coming down. It's coming down to the end times. Of the Old Testament, the closing of it, and how that dispensation of God was going to close because Jesus was going to be coming to the scene in a few years. And then when Jesus went away, that dispensation closed, and then he opened up the coming of the Holy Spirit. So you and I are living in the days of the Holy Ghost and in the days of hearing the Lord speak to us because he lives in our heart. Amen? So he's talking about tithes and offering and giving to the church. See, he said it too. But he talks, oh my goodness, I didn't count the times, but between chapter 3 and chapter 4, he mentions the day of his coming, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of his coming, over and over and over. He's like, the day of the Lord, that means an end times. That means just before he returns. Okay, so let's come down here. I'm going to start at verse 4, Kathy. Chapter 4, verse 4. This is funny that he would begin with this while he's talking about our future. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. Don't forget that. You remember the law of Moses, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. When? Before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers. You better underline this or highlight it on your phone, whatever you're looking at. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Woo! Look at this last line. This is big stuff. I mean, this is serious. Lest I come and I strike the earth with a curse. Listen, God is saying, we've got to get this thing straight. I have to have things right between the fathers and the sons. I have to have things right between the sons and the fathers. There must be a mutual respect between you. You can't trash mouth your parents. Neither should the parents trash talk their children. There should be a mutual respect, even when they're young, but especially when they're grown up. So he said, look, I'm just going to have to come before that terrible day, because he said, in this hour, things are going to be so totally messed up in the family. This is why when we had our banners up, for all those years, we had a banner that said families. And on it, there was a picture of the dad, the mom, the children. And we prayed over that family for years. Now, where do those prayers go? We prayed in that little one-room shotgun shack across the street for years. We've laid hands on all of these banners, just like that music banner. And when we laid hands on that family banner, I say, Lord, where did all those prayers go? And he said, my word does not return to me void. And you and I pray his word. And so I can tell you, whatever prayers you have prayed are still out there, moving around, roaming around. Oh, they'll light. They will light on your son, on your daughter. I'm glad we just sang that song. Shout Jesus to your family. Not just to everybody else. But God says, no, I got to fix this or else. When he says lest, that means or else. I'll just come and curse this world out. I'll just come and strike it. Well, you know as well as I do, it's not God's will that any man should perish. And I know we're talking about dads today. But there's something between mothers, too, that's got to be set right, and children. But here, I want us to have the words of the Father on this very, very serious day. You're like, what? You would curse this earth because dads and sons don't get along, or dads and children, the daughters and the sons? Gosh, that's a big deal to him. And if you're a grandparent or parent and your children are grown, every now and then somebody will say to me, and usually we have good success praying about this. If I know it, we attack this thing. And they say, my daughter, I forget which one you were, my daughter has not spoken to me in 15 years. Let me tell you, that is not pleasing to God. He doesn't like it one bit. So what's he going to do? See, he doesn't want to strike the earth. And if he says, and he did, because we just read it, before, here's the good news. That's bad news, but it's good news because God's concerned. But it says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the rapture of the church comes and we're caught up and these other people are left here desperate. Oh, you want to read a little bit about that for a minute? We have time. No, we don't. All right. All right, go back up. I'll make it short. All right, Malachi 4. For behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming, there it is again, shall be burned up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, you Christians, you who have me with you, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You'll be so blessed, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men and God give into your bosom. Favor of the Lord be upon you. Verse 3. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your feet. They'll be ashes under your feet. Look, there it is again. On that day, I do this, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, he says, I'll take care of it. But now he says, remember the people of Israel and remember the law of Moses. And then again, he says, in another portion of scripture, remember Lot's wife. Remember, she came out of bondage, but what did she do? She turned around and looked back to her past. God's calling us away from that, church. And it's not doing you one bit of good to turn around and look at your past. I was such a bad dad. I was bad. Forget about it. He says, I come with healing in my wings to heal your boy, to heal your girl, to heal you, to heal your marriage, to heal your family. I'm not going to leave it like that. God cares about you and he cares about me. And he says, I'm just not going to let that happen to you. And he wanted us to know, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to come curse it, but I will send Elijah. You say, will we actually see him? Well, he will come in the flesh. I'm sorry, just a minute here. He will come with Moses, you know that, during the last days. But I believe this is talking about the spirit of Elijah. He's going to be on the land, the spirit of Elijah, and he'll take care of business for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, well, okay, that's Old Testament. Well, let me give you a little New Testament. Give me Luke chapter 1, verse 17, Kathy. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus speaking. He will also go before him in the spirit and power. I like that. I'm glad it says spirit, but it also says power. Somebody say spirit and power. He'll go in the spirit and power of Elijah. Why? Oh, because he has some work to do. Because he's going to have to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to the things you and I know. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So the reason God says, I must do this, because it's going to be a dreadful day on the day of the rapture when the church is lifted out. So I've sent the spirit of Elijah, Malachi prophesying this is going to happen. Jesus saying it's going to happen because he's got to prepare you for the way of the Lord. And listen, if you are distracted, how many know that family problems can be the worst thing on this earth? You know, when you're sick, you're saying, no, sickness is the worst. No, when it's finances. No. But when it's family, you just look at the parents and you'll see how bad it can be, because it's hurtful. I mean, it's just hurtful. You don't know how to deal with it because you raised these babies in your home and now they're acting like idiots. Like, why do they act that way? Okay? So God says, I don't like that. I just want to fix it, because if I don't fix it, it's going to hinder you. And so I have to get you prepared for the coming of the Lord. Now think of people in your family. I mean, brothers, sisters, maybe that have children they don't talk to. I was shocked this week as a lady called me. And they've been beautiful parents. I mean, raised their children. The children are so sweet. And they got the empty nest, you know. And she was just so crying. And she said, I just can hardly deal with it. She said, he doesn't even want to come home anymore. And when he comes home, you know, she says, I'll write to him. He doesn't even write back to me. And he just fusses with me. And he cusses at his dad and just says bad things. Where does that come from, church? Wouldn't you think that's just plain old hellish? Are y'all here? Don't be acting like Presbyterians in front of my Pentecostal brother. But he said, I'll deal with it. Because here's the reason. Here's the reason that we have to have the spirit and the power of Elijah. He says, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Because who can do that? You and I can't do it. You ever tried it? Did you ever try talking to that rebellious kid? I mean, our president's got a 54-year-old son and they're calling him their baby. Shut up. He's 54 years old. He's not a little baby. So quit playing political games with that. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in because we're talking about sons and daughters. So only God can heal some of these things. But we can't. What are you going to do, folks? What are you going to do about it? Pray, yeah, and believe and have faith that this is coming down. I watched Gabby. I watched Gina. I mean, I watched you guys go through some of this stuff, minister with you, and I'm like, how in the world can they take it? I mean, just hard stuff. Okay, I'm a fine. All right. So, but here's the deal. John the Baptist had to do the same thing. The Bible says in three of the Gospels, it said John the Baptist had to bring the fathers. He had to just go out and bring those fathers to the children and the unrighteous to the righteous to prepare the way of the Lord in Christ's first coming. So we don't know how to do it. Look, so let me encourage you with this. You don't know how to talk to that boy. You don't know how to talk to that girl, that mother. They may be 13. They may be 60. I don't know. But I'm just saying God does. And there's times sometimes where you just have to zip it up. Hard for a mom and a daddy to do, I know. But don't be pushing anybody's buttons. If you know it's going to push their buttons, don't push the button. In an elevator, if you push the button, it goes up. In the flesh, if you push somebody's button, it explodes. So John the Baptist said, just don't mess with it. Okay, so the only way that fatherlessness or the fighting that's going on in not only America, but probably around the world, I don't know, but it's to encounter God and get God back into the family and the home and the hearts of the fathers and mothers and the kids. And the only way that can happen is for God to reconcile it and bring it back together. So I give you hope today. It's going to be okay. I promise you it'll be all right. So you call. Lord, Pastor just read to us that the spirit of Elijah is coming on the earth. Could he just hurry up and come down? Don't let him hold off anymore. Now I want to also celebrate those stepfathers that have stepped in and been fathers. I watched Anthony, father and niece. My goodness, what a precious father you were. He just stepped up and fathered her. I watched Chris be a sweet father. So many of you here have just been wonderful. And Paul talked a lot about spiritual fatherhood. I mean, God loves it. That's why I think he sent these fathers. If they had children, they may not have been able to be that to another child. So God bless them. So some of you have good memories, some don't. But I'll tell you one thing. When I'm at bedsides of dying parents, especially dying dads, let me tell you something. And then I go, because I always make my funerals personal. And I will tell the family, I want to talk to you all because I knew them. They went to our church, but you knew them better. So I want to talk to you so I can make the funeral personal. So the one thing that I've noticed, it seems like the kids never stop looking at their dad. They looked at him when they were young. They thought he was a hero. They grew up. They started going to school, especially about 13. They thought he was ignorant. And then they knew more than him, you know. And then they get older and older, and they start meeting other people. In fact, that lady said to me the other day, my son don't even want to come home to be with his dad. He goes everywhere with his father-in-law, though. He loves his father-in-law. And so I don't know if it was jealousy or what, but it was killing her. But I just wonder, God is not happy that the boy's not coming back home, at least to visit. Am I on the right path this morning? Come on, talk to me or something, because not easy up here. Dads, listen, there's just something for you that's going to be dads, for you that are young fathers. Can I tell you, don't be too prideful to tell that baby, I'll call him that, that you're sorry. Or I was wrong, if you were wrong. And then there's sometimes you can forgive them. Listen, sometimes you have to forgive people at a distance. Because if you go to them in person, it'll just start all over again. And it can be very hurtful then again. So let me just get where I'm going here. But they're watching dads, though. They watch them when they're little. They watch dad how you act. They watch what you say. They watch where you go. They act how you reacted. And really, they want to watch, are you really walking the talk? That talk that you talk, do you walk it? And I'm telling you, they're watching that daddy every step of the way. And so it's very, very important to understand that those kids watch. I know we're almost done, but can I just, how many say? 5 more minutes, Pastor. 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. So I went to I didn't plan to go this route, but I'm going there right now. Went to San Jose to do the funeral of my cousin. He's a successful contractor, and I went there to do his father-in-law's funeral service. And the dad was a very successful businessman, but he was a functioning alcoholic and user. And so this man was always, you know, never a father. He was always off on dirt bikes with his son. I hope they don't listen to this tape. Anyway, they were always off in the dirt bike racing. And so the kids grew up around that. We get to the funeral, and I have my yellow pad. And I said, let's talk about Dad. I went up early so I could talk to him, tell me about him. You guys, I am not kidding you. I went back to my hotel room with one line on that yellow pad. One line. And his wife said, gosh, we only knew Dad for 3 weeks. I said, what are you talking about? The guy's 70 years old. Oh, no, said he was always out. The minute he got off work, he went out with the guys drinking. He would come home, just sober up in time to go back out on a job, made a lot of money. And he thought, like, as long as he was taking care of all of us, he was a good provider. But he was always gone doing things. And the little granddaughter, who was like 18, I said, honey, do you remember anything about Grandpa? Oh, yeah, I do. And she said, I used to sit up on his lap, and he always wore those blue work shirts. And she said he always had a pencil behind his ear. And she said he would let me play with that pencil. And Grandpa was always doodling. And so he was always drawing something because he was going to build it or something. And so he pulled out his little notebook, and she was writing. And she said he always gave me his pencil. And that was the greatest thing. And I always say, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to zoom in on something because this guy is a loser. So the whole, I don't use that word, but I just did. And so the little girl says, oh, no, I remember his yellow pencil. I got back to that room. Holy Spirit said, it's a pencil. You'll work that pencil. I thought, well, you better hurry up because I haven't got anything on that pencil. So the next morning, here's what came to me. I had a purpose, and I had laid out a blueprint for his life. It wasn't my will that he lost his family. And they said the last 3 weeks was the best time they ever had. He took them to Disneyland, and he was actually alert. He had gotten off the booze. I don't know how he did that. But they said about 3 weeks before he died. And I said, let me tell you guys something. Because you know what? You can put a mask on it and act like it didn't exist. But people that live in the home, oh, they know who he was. So I could tell them all day long he was holy and he died saved and all that. Well, I don't know that he didn't. Nobody said he did. But anyway. So God had a plan for his life. He said, I had a plan, man. Just like that little girl jotted out. Just like he was always writing on that pad. If he had just gone to my book. And he had just seen the plan that I had for him. If he had just turned his heart to me. I could have laid out a plan. And he could have enjoyed all that money he made. Much more than just drinking it away and living in a beautiful home and having a great car. He could have enjoyed so much more. But I'm telling you, church, God does have a plan for it. And he does not like anyone to be messed up with a father and son or daughters. Okay, I'll shut it so I won't say anything else. But I didn't mean to talk about funerals today, but I have to. Renee, right, Ray, wave at it. Do you remember her sister, Rosa Loza? And, man, for a while, way back, there was a lot of them coming. Well, I get a call. Her dad's name was Felipe. And we were at the old building, the first building, and he was coming from the very beginning. And I loved him. And, Renee, I'll never forget those beautiful blue eyes. I think you have brown, don't you? But Rosa had, remember Rosa's bright blue eyes? And so Felipe had those kind of eyes, and we had a bus running at that time. A Scott man would drive the bus, go out and pick up kids. Well, somehow his grandchildren were coming, and Felipe started riding on the bus with them. He didn't ask the kids what they thought or anything because they were all Catholic. So he started coming in on the bus. So I'd met him, and he had always sat on the back row, and I always loved him. He was just so much fun, and always had a beautiful smile and those bright blue eyes. And so I get a call in the morning. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't go to the hospital now at those hours. But then I went, and they didn't even have security cards at Sierra View. So Rick and Jamie hadn't been gone too long. You know, they died in a car accident. And I think they'd only been gone just a little while. And they said he had been in a terrible car accident. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the last place I wanted to go. Make sure they can hear me, brother, okay? I don't want to yell at them. So I thought, God, I don't want to go down to the hospital. Excuse me, honey. I don't know what I'm going to see. And I can go. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I can, Lord. I know that. I can do everything. But I really don't want to, because I just don't want my heart to be hurt. And I don't know what I'm going to see. And I just felt the greatest peace come over me. Now, you go on. I'll go with you. And I went, got out of the car, went in. And there he lay, just a few scratches, nothing. But he was dying. I think he passed the next day. And I did a service. Said all that to say, I go to their house. And here he was, had plenty of children. And they were all there. I said, well, tell me about Daddy. I saw him at church. I talked to him. I loved him, but not like you guys. And they started talking. And I'll tell you, I wish I would have known that grandpa, that dad. They told me how he would dance like Elvis and just do anything in the house to make them laugh. How he loved mama and he loved those kids. And it didn't matter what daddy wanted to do. He was so unselfish. It's whatever mama wanted, whatever those kids did. We're going to do it. Well, he probably didn't even want to go shopping or whatever they wanted, but he did it because he loved them. And he respected them. And he made the home a happy place. And then he starts, please come to Landmark. Why don't you come to Landmark? Oh, Dad, we're Catholic. Please come with me to Landmark. Well, they didn't. They never came. But we did that service that day. And the glory of God met us there. And I believe the spirit of Elijah came in, Renee. And the spirit of Elijah, even though he was dead and gone, I don't even know how that works. How could God fix something after they're dead and gone? Because many of us today, our fathers have passed. Many of you are fathers. Some don't have a father. We've already covered all that. I don't know how it works. But Felipe had gone on. Hebrews chapter 11 says, he died not receiving the promise. He lived by faith, but he died by faith. He died not receiving the promise. But all of a sudden, I see two or three rows fill up. What was your last name? Ramirez? His dad's name? Flores. Man, I saw the Flores family fill up. I don't know how many rows. But they stayed. They brought the grandchildren. They probably spanked half of them to get them here, but made them stay and made them come. And they just dropped everything else and just came. Why? Because they believed in their dad. They honored him, respected him, and they wanted to follow his lead. Remember, your babies are always looking at you. Grandpa, they never, ever stop looking at you. They can't look to dad, they'll look to somebody else. Would you stand on your feet with me today? I'll bet the rest of that was going to be so good. I just know it would have been. But Bertha Hearn told me that your mind can only take what your seat can endure. And when your seat is finished enduring, your mind is over. So I may as well just quit. So, and you can go get the kids as well. Well, wonderful Jesus, we thank you for the mighty word of God. God, your plan is way out there beyond anything any of us could ever, ever imagine. Lord, it's so amazingly beautiful. And how that you looked, I don't know, how many years ago, 4,000 years ago, and said, no, one day the family unit's going to be tore up and the dads and the boys and the children won't even be speaking. There'll be confusion, and it will try to bring down a nation. Oh, it's much bigger, Lord, than just a little fuss at home. This is now leaked over into the nations and into the prison systems and into the educational system. And so, Lord, you let us know. I care about it. And I'm sending Spirit of Elijah. I'm sending the Spirit of Elijah to my people to fix it. And Lord, I believe in your word. And these people do too. I know them. We heard the word of the Lord. And we bring our families to you today. I know it's Father's Day and people are busy, got things going. But right where they sit right now, right there, would you lift your hands to Jesus? Come on. Lift your hands to Jesus and say this with me. Jesus, restore, heal, and mend our fathers to our children, and our children to the fathers. Reconcile their beautiful hearts and do what no man can do. Lord, we know that no one can do this but you. And so we call you to it. Come on, lift your hands and give him praise for hearing us today. Give him thanks for his mighty word. Give him thanks for his word. Thank him. Oh, Father, I feel that sweet spirit of Elijah. As I was looking at this message, Lord, it's been on my heart for 3 days. I could hardly stand it. Lord, it made me weepy. And it made me thankful. And it just made me feel like a certain amount of righteousness was falling around us. Because it's supernatural. It's way beyond anything we can do to fix a mind, to fix a heart. Who could do that? Oh, no one but you. No one but you. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give him praise. Give him praise. What are you playing there, brother? Bless the Lord. I pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, thank you for your precious people. And Lord, for any home that has been dealing with this, I didn't know, Lord, in the beginning, how you were going to use that song to shout to our families and shout to the dads and shout Jesus to the families and shout Jesus all over America and the world. We shout your name, Lord, over it all that pertains to us. But we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of Elijah to reconcile the sons and daughters to the heart of the father to the children, because we have such a wonderful Father. And don't you dare judge your heavenly Father according to the way your earthly father was. Don't ever do that, because your heavenly Father, supernatural. And he loves you beyond measure, in Jesus' name. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace in your home, in your life, in your mind, your heart, your family, in Jesus' name. Amen.